The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. On that last day, as evening drew on, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us cross to the other side." Leaving the crowd, they took Jesus with them in the boat just as he was, and other boats were with him. A violent squall came up, and waves were breaking over the boat so that it was already filling up. Jesus was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. They woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up, rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, "Quiet, be still." The wind ceased, and there was great calm. Then he asked them, "Why are you terrified? Do you not yet have faith?" They were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this whom even the wind and the sea obey?" The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning to everybody. All right, I'm going to start off my homily being provocative. How's this? Wouldn't it be great if we actually took the gospel message seriously? Could you imagine what the world would be like if we actually lived it? What am I talking about? Well, even though it's technically it's not the gospel, it's still a gospel message. The second reading from St. Paul, how about this? "He died for all so that those who live," which is us, "might live no longer for themselves, but for him." How many of us can actually say, when I look in the mirror, and I'm part of you guys, so don't worry, this is not an accusatory homily, or if it is, then I'm part of the crowd, but how many of us can actually look at the mirror and say, "You know what? I don't really live too much for myself. I don't really take myself too much into account. Really, the only thing that matters to me is Christ and his will, no matter what sacrifices he asks of me." I'll bet there's, if we're honest with ourselves, there's probably not too many people in the church that can say that. There's actually a saint, he's a convert, I think he was canonized, John Henry Newman. You may have heard of him. He was in the late 1800s. He was a convert from Anglicanism, big intellectual. And in his conversion process, he got to a point when he recognized, he said, "You know what? I don't really seek to do God's will so much as I seek to do my own will, in the hopes that it doesn't upset God too much in the process." I think that is probably the way a lot of us go through life. It's not like we want to, we hate God or we want to offend him or anything. We would like to think that we're making God happy as long as we get to do what we want. And the ideal world for a lot of us, I think, would be do what you feel like doing and kind of hopefully God is okay with it and he'll go along with it, right? And that's a far cry from what St. Paul is talking about. St. Paul says that we will live no longer for ourselves, but for him who for our sake died and was raised. And then later on, he finishes it off with this little phrase. It says, "Whoever is in Christ is a new creation." Okay, what does that mean? It means that realistically, our faith has to change us. We have to become different people. It's not like we can just kind of go through our lives and our faith, you know, church is kind of something I do. It's part of my life. It's important, but it's not everything. It's just, you know, I've got a variety of different things. I'm a whole rainbow of possibilities, you know. It's not like it. What St. Paul is saying is our faith has to be everything. It has to be the center of our life, the meaning of our life, the purpose of our lives. We have to have new lives because of our faith. That's what the saints are. That's what saints do. When you look at people, you know, imagine a St. Francis, or if you remember St. John Paul II, or, you know, Padre Pio, or any of these people, you look at them and you don't think, here's a guy who kind of did what he felt like doing and more or less kept God happy. No, you look at these people and you say, these are men and women who gave everything to Christ, sometimes even up to giving their lives. They took God seriously. So, since I know this is the family mass, I want to give you an image, okay? How's this for? How many of us know, okay, this is for all of you who are under the age of about 12, time to wake up. Yep, you guys. Imagine this. Imagine a caterpillar. Okay. Think of what a caterpillar looks like. They're ugly. They're kind of gross. It's kind of like a slug with legs. You know, it's like none of us, I think, would aspire to be like a caterpillar, right? And what is a caterpillar's life? Well, they go around, they just eat leaves. So they eat leaves all day. They crawl around slowly, and they, you know, it's like disgusting to look at. They crawl, and if you step on them, all kinds of weird stuff comes out, so don't try it. And they just eat leaves and destroy, you know, people who are gardeners hate caterpillars because they can, like, wipe out your trees and your plants and everything, depending on what kind of caterpillar you have. And all they do is go around causing damage because they're totally selfish eating. And then one fine day, they build a really, well, some of them live in these ugly tents, which are, like, disgusting looking. You're looking at your tree and, like, what's wrong? It's got all these webs all over it. So all around nasty. But you know that caterpillars will tend to turn into butterflies, right? So one day they enter into this cocoon, and the cocoon is kind, it's almost like they die. They go into this little thing, they wrap themselves up, and it's almost like they die. They just kind of sit there, and it's like going into a tomb, just the same way that Jesus went into the tomb and he came out 3 days later, resurrected. The caterpillar, I don't know how many days it takes, probably depends on the species. Caterpillar goes into his little cocoon, which is like a tomb, and then he kind of resurrects and he comes out and he's this butterfly. Now, not only are butterflies beautiful to look at, they're kind of graceful, they're kind of, you know, you see them floating around and doing stuff, but also, what do they eat? It's a much more noble diet. They go around eating, like, nectar, sweet stuff. So flowers that have sweet juice coming out the top, they smell things, anything that is sweet and perfume smelling, they go for. And butterflies do not destroy anything. The caterpillars just destroy everything. Butterflies don't destroy anything. In fact, butterflies help to pollinate. They produce good works, okay? And that's kind of what our faith needs to do to us. We need to be transformed. But in order for that to happen, we need, in a certain sense, to die. We need to learn how to die to our selfishness. Jesus, look, if Jesus died for us and we, when we get baptized, are part of his mystical body, that means that he lives in us and we live in him. When we are baptized, we are part of his church, but we're part, the church is the mystical body of Christ. That means Christ is our head and we are his members. We're called to live the same life as Jesus. And the life of grace is supposed to change us, okay? And that means if the same way that Jesus had to die in order to enter into his resurrection, we also have to go through a series of sacrifices, deaths, if you want, purification, hard things, do hard things, in order so that we can become transformed and we can come out the other side, we can be those butterflies, okay? None of us, I think, aspires to live the caterpillar life. If we want to be transformed, then we have to live according to the same pattern that Jesus lived, which is to die to ourselves and to be radically open, to always seek to do God's will. That's what it means to be have a new life in Christ. If we do that, then we will be like the people St. Paul is talking about. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.